Today on Real Radio.
Isn't that interesting? There are several gifts listed right there in just those few verses. But what they're going to do is exercise the gift of helps. If you keep reading, there's Stephen, there's Philip, and there's others who have the gift of helps.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This is actually a series taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, as well as other passages. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
It's a beautiful thing that in this church, the person that founded the cleaning ministry here is still doing it today. Let me tell you something. When you stumble in on that person or those people helping them, when you come in here and you sneak on in, you know what they're doing? They're whistling, singing songs. They love it. That's the gift of helps in action. They would never think about it. They're probably kind of embarrassed hearing about it right now because it's so natural. You know if you have the gift of helps, if you, now listen carefully, if you look around the church and inside your heart there is a genuine communal care, you look around and you go, how can I make this place better? I love this place. I love the people. So many people walk into a church and even for the first time, they've never been there before, but they've been burned or whatever. They come in. What can this place do for me? Well, that's not biblical, though it will do stuff for you. But they come on in and they're, I'm just going to sit. Well, go ahead and sit and get better and get healed and get healthy. But one of the signs of health is that you will get up and serve the Lord. And I don't care if you do it here or somewhere else, but you serve Him. Somebody comes in and you're wondering, you walk on in and you go, golly, this is really something, but I'd really like to have this, or I'm wondering about that thing. I wonder if anybody's thought about that thing. So you know what? I don't know. I'll talk to somebody and they'll come up and say, you know, Pastor Jack, have we ever thought about having greeters? Crossed my mind a couple times, but I never did anything with it. I never thought about it again. Are you interested? Yeah, I'm really interested. Well, can you greet? Yeah, well, let me see you smile. Oh, okay. Well, try it next Sunday. Well, is that really important? Was it important to you when you came here for the first time? Somebody looks around and says, man, these chairs are crooked. Listen, it is a sad thing when a Christian looks around at any church they might be at or visiting and begins to critique and criticize. What they should be doing is saying, Lord, are you showing me this for me to get involved? Does everybody understand that? We can all sit back and go, well, why don't we have stained glass? We'll never have stained glass. Nothing wrong with stained glass. It's expensive. But God will speak to you and how you deal with it. You can criticize and let it stew and fester in your heart, or you can say, hey, you know what? I want to make a difference in this church. That's awesome. You want to hear about it when somebody's sick. What's happened to them? Oh, someone's sick or someone's died. Well, how can I help? Well, we have a meals ministry, or we have this ministry. The husband is down. In fact, I got to tell you, I hope they're not here tonight because they always sit over here in this area. So there's a precious family that were not Christians. And when we moved to Chino Hills, my wife babysat their little daughter from 10, 12 months old. And she's like 12 years old now. And we would try and try to insert the scriptures when they would come or whatever, send them a Christmas card and give scripture. And we didn't want to throw it down their throat, but we wanted to make sure that they knew. And it was a very touchy thing. And they were not really open. We had invited them a few times to church. No, no, it's okay. And then Lisa was not or no longer babysat the girl, and we never saw them again. And through a very, what looks like, strange circumstance, a wrong phone number was dialed, and it was the right phone number for God because he was at work, and the families got together again by phone, and you know what happened? The husband wound up having to have a very serious, I think it was hip or leg surgery. And right before that surgery, we saw them at Rendino's, the spaghetti place in town. Best spaghetti, great food. Cheap, too. It's good price. And, well, hey, what's going on with you? Well, I'm going in for this and that. Well, you know what? The men's ministry can help you out, maybe with your lawn or something or whatever. Oh, yeah? So you know what happened? One little mention to the men's ministry, and they wound up visiting him in the hospital. It overwhelmed him. Then they wound up taking care of them in some fashion that I don't remember. And they wound up, they came, not last Easter service, but the Easter service before. So the 1996 Easter service gave their heart to the Lord. You can find them in here every Sunday. And in other ministries that gather in the evenings. Why? Because someone exercised the gift of helps and ministered to them just by visiting them. That's the gift of helps. You might have compassion towards someone. Well, I have a real heart for the elderly people. That's the gift of helps. Also possibly the gift of mercy. The gift of helps. Are you ever moved to do something for anybody? Then you may have the gift of helps. But it seems so natural. Yeah, I understand. But it's naturally, supernaturally used by God. And when you step out, he begins to open up more and more opportunities. And here's the wonderful thing about spiritual ministry. You don't get pooped out. You don't run dry. When you and I, even in our good jobs that God's called us to in the secular world, we'll work at those jobs, and there's a reward when you see the project there or when it takes off or drives away or makes the month-end sales meeting or whatever. There's a reward to that. And God's in it. But you'll have the tendency to be fatigued or tired or whatever. And the world will suck energy from you. You serve Jesus. And I cannot explain it. But the more you give to him, the more you lend yourself to his use, the more energized you are, the more empowerment you have, it's unbelievable. That's why when you serve in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, you're renewed in the Spirit. But when there's a work of the flesh, oh, the pastor's making me do this. Oh, I've got to do the other thing. It's draining because it's not of God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, Zechariah 4:6 says. And that's how the Lord works. The gift of helps. Very important. But without a vision, will go stagnant. In Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says, where there's no vision, the people will perish. Very, very sad. The gift of helps is a body exercise. We're going to talk about this right now. The word helps is found in 1 Corinthians 12:27, beginning in that verse, down to verse 30, and I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members. I like this, and members individually. It's almost like an oxymoron, what he's saying. Now you are the body of Christ, singular. And members, that's a plural, individually. Isn't that funny? You're the body of Christ, that's one. You're members, that's many. Individually, that's you, personally. You. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. And then he says, are all apostles? By the way, let's settle this once and for all. I saw something on TV last week that really upset me, and I get talking to these guys on TV, they can't hear me. This guy's saying that if you're filled with the Spirit, one of the evidences of your salvation is that you speak in tongues. Listen, one of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is love. But when he says in 1 Corinthians 12:29, in the Greek, it demands a negative response. Watch this. Verse 29, it says, are all apostles? The answer, the literal, you cannot be a Greek student and come out with any other answer other than no. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Nope. Do all have the gift of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. And he goes on from there. Isn't it interesting, by the way, a little footnote, he does not mention anything about evangelists in this passage and list of gifts. Why? The church doesn't need evangelists in its own context. Evangelism's for the outside of the church. And the Holy Spirit deletes it from this portion. That's neat. But the word helps. Here's what it means. By the way, it's only found three places in Scripture. But listen, this is the definition of the word helps, the gift. The one who brings relief, the one who rises to assist, to aid at bringing to pass a plan. The one who brings relief, the one who assists, arises to assist, and the one that brings aid to bring to pass the plan. That's the gift of helps. It is to view the church in a communal sense, in a godly way, with pride, not in an ungodly pride, but to be involved, to see it as your fellowship, and to care for it. You'll see trash, you pick it up. Smudged windows, you're concerned about it. Why? It's yours. And do you have that sense of communal ownership to your fellowship? It's very, very important. Listen to this. The gift of helps in action, and maybe several other gifts, in Acts chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Listen to this. It says right there, very, very great example. It says, then the 12 summoned the multitude. These are the big guys, the big apostles. The 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said to them, quote, it is not proper that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Okay? Were they being like major, hey, we're something now. We're the big 12, the dirty dozen, or whatever, I don't know. No, they said, listen, and by the way, if you read Acts chapter 6 and then Acts 5 and 4 and 3, you begin to find out that there's somewhere around possibly 20 to 25,000 people now in the church. And on one day, 3,000 people got saved. Then on a later day, some 5,000 people got saved. Wow. So the apostles, they're studying their Bibles, Old Testament, to give messages. Those guys must have been preaching nonstop. And, James is over there scrubbing tables with his concordance out there. And Peter, he's trying to do the next thing and doing his word study for the next message because he's on right after Andrew gets done. And people are saying, hey, this table's broke. And this is not working. We cannot leave the teaching of the Word of God that brings people to everlasting life. We need to have somebody help with these tables. So look what happens. This is, by the way, a wonderful exercise of the gift of administration. And that is a gift in the Bible, and we'll talk about it in subsequent weeks. It is not desirable for us or not proper for us to leave the Word of God and to serve on tables. Verse 3, therefore, brethren. Now here comes the gift of leading, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit as well in Scripture. This is the gift of leading in action. They say, quote, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Isn't that interesting? There are several gifts listed right there in just those few verses. But what they're going to do is exercise the gift of helps. If you keep reading, there's Stephen, there's Philip, and there's others who have the gift of helps. Can you imagine going to a restaurant and having a guy that serves tables right here? He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's full of wisdom. Imagine a waiter. These guys were so excellent in their reputation. And all they were going to do is wait on tables. You go to a restaurant, guy with those kind of qualities. I would like to have, I already know what you want to have. What about, it's already covered. Ha, got it. That's my kind of waiter. Gives your tip back? That's a real good guy. Filled with the Holy Spirit to wait on tables. And they appoint Greeks. And that's very interesting if you read the scenario, because the people who were complaining about the daily distribution of goods were the Greeks. So in wisdom to calm down the people, a decision was made by the leadership. Let's seek out seven guys filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, let's try to seek out some Greek guys to calm down the people who are all upset. It was a great stroke of Holy Spirit genius. And the need was met. People, I've said this before, I'll say it again, and I'll say it forever, I guess, is that whenever there's a need in this church, God is so cool. He will look at us and He will say, there's Johnny, there's Karen and Mike and Lisa and Fred. I see John back there. And they're not doing anything. And so for them to grow, I'm going to create the need of, and you, whatever it might be. I'm going to create the need for the worship ministry or the traffic ministry or whatever it is. God doesn't throw on us some accident and then, oh no, oh, I've overburdened them. I've made a mistake. I've put a burden on them that they can't even handle. Poor things, they're going to be struggling, panicking, and all. They're going to just be freaking out. No. He looks around at the body, he evaluates the body, and then he says, let's insert this and get them stirred up. That's why, for weeks, we've been announcing that we have such a need in children's ministry. And I'm not panicking about it. The part that upsets me is that someone is not praying to ask God what they should do. Because I know there's somebody in this church to meet that need. How do you know that? Because God will never cause the need to arise without the personnel being available within the body. Think how simple that is. He doesn't prostitute his people. He's wonderful. And so the gift is at work. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Romans 12, 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. There you go. That backs up exactly what we're talking about in Corinthians. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that has been given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. Can you imagine that? Somebody has a gift of giving. Guy gives money away and God gives him more money. That cracks me up. The guy, he's trying to tithe his money away and God keeps giving him more money. It's weird. He who leads with diligence and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I like that. By the way, when this church was just getting started, we're meeting in the house and talk about the gift of helps. We get done teaching, and it's really funny because the home Bible studies are exactly like we are here tonight. There was worship and then there's like a forever time in the Word. And then there's fellowship afterward. And it was so cool because right after the word, we pass around prayer requests, and then everyone's cleaning, helping and moving the couches around and the chairs back and this and that, and everyone's fellowshipping together. And it was just so neat. But there were people who had the gift of helps. It's pretty amazing. I'm looking around here right now, and there were people in that house then. That's wonderful. It's incredible. The body just coming together. And nobody said, now we need to exercise the gift of helps, y'all. We need to pick up the couch, change. Nobody said a word. It just happened. Because you saw the need and you responded. And one of the dangers of us growing big is you sit and you're thinking someone else is going to do it. At Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, they'll make an announcement. Think about this. We need help in children's ministry. Nobody shows up. In a church of gazillion million people, no one shows up. Why? If you were to ask the people, they'll say, I thought somebody else would have responded to it. If you think about it, that's the Holy Spirit flirting with you to go try. Will we be crazy enough to trust God and to see if he's in it? Will we be reckless enough? Examples of the gifts in action, or this gift in action, Acts 13, verse 5. And I'm going to go real quick because I want to get through these. I only got a couple of pages left. No, that will go quick. I write big. Example of this gift. By the way, when Paul the Apostle traveled, he traveled in an entourage for a lot of reasons. He had Dr. Luke with him. Poor Paul, he'd get beat up and punched out somewhere, and then he'd go back to Luke, and Luke would patch him up, smelling salts. Come on, buddy. You know, keep him up. He did. Paul was his doctor. Taking care of him. Okay, get back out there. Ding, 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 ding. Run out there. And fight on. And then there was Barnabas. Barnabas. You can do it, Paul. You can do it, buddy. Barnabas is such a cheerleader. Mr. Encourager. Come on, you can try again. Then there's John Mark, the Bible says, was Paul's assistant. In Acts 13, 5, and when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had with them John as their assistant. Assistant, that's the word. Help. In Acts 19, 21, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who, here it is, ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a while. The gift of helps, the gift of assisting. You see something, you fix it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series taken from Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, wherein Paul writes about gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. United in the Gifts is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if Real Radio is benefiting you, let us know. You can call, click, or write. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Or call us toll-free, 877-RR Radio. That's easy to remember. 877-RR Radio. And if you missed any of this contact information, you can always point your browser to realradioactive.org. That's www.realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.